Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, Leif Bieberson, Liberty Champion. Thanks very much for listening to the show. If you're a frequent listener and you're not yet subscribed to the Freedom Report podcast, do me a favor. Head over to iTunes and subscribe to us there. If you really enjoy the show, you're a regular listener and you haven't done it yet, also please leave us a good review with 5 stars on iTunes. Helps us spread the message of liberty far and wide. If you're not an iTunes aficionado or you don't have an Apple product, you've got an Android, you'd like to listen to us on Stitcher or on your device, you can find us on Stitcher. Download the Stitcher app. That's S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R, Stitcher, and you can get us there. Thanks very much for listening. So, today's show, we're going to be talking about Eric Garner. And if you haven't heard of this case, this is the man in New York City who was choked and died as a result of the choking death of police officers. He was arrested for selling loose cigarettes. And I think that just goes to show that, you know, you're not going to get anything by the state unless you pay your taxes. And a lot of people say, well, if he had only been following the law and he hadn't resisted arrest, maybe he wouldn't be dead right now. Well, maybe if the officer who choked him had followed the law, Eric Garner wouldn't be dead right now. But according to your own logic there, if you're saying, oh, hey, Eric Garner, he's selling untaxed cigarettes on the street without the king's tax stamp, are you a Tea Partier or are you not? Why the hell should we be paying these high taxes on cigarettes anyway? Are you a free market conservative or are you not? And I'm not saying, oh, Eric Garner should have broken the law, even though I think that sometimes there does come a time when the law is unjust, then you do have a duty, a moral duty, to disobey the law. I don't know that Eric Garner is necessarily some example of American patriotism. I compare him to the patriots from the Boston Tea Party who were doing something explicitly political. However, I think that Eric Garner's case shows a much better example of the problem that we're having right now with police in the United States. I think it's a much better example than Ferguson, where Mike Brown was killed by Officer Darren Wilson, and in both cases, a grand jury declined to prosecute the officer despite in the Eric Garner case, there specifically is video evidence that everyone could watch. Now, I'm going to go through several of the opinions on this case. We're going to take a look at this because the case of Eric Garner in New York actually isn't over. There's quite a bit more to go. There's a civil suit against the officer. Let's talk about this. Let's break it down and let's discuss what the problems are that we have in this country when it comes to police power. Judge Andrew Napolitano of Fox News said that the officer, whose name is Daniel Pantaleo, the NYPD officer, should have been indicted at least for manslaughter. Video of the officer brutally choking Garner went viral, and it painted a grim picture of law enforcement in the era of Ferguson. Judge Napolitano said, "My thoughts are this ought to have been an indictment, and there ought to have been some sort of indictment for manslaughter because of the excessive use of deadly force on a person who posed no serious or material threat to the police," Judge Napolitano said. Now, see, this is the difference in these two cases. Whereas with Ferguson, we have eyewitnesses and we have forensic evidence that shows that Mike Brown posed an imminent threat to Officer Darren Wilson. Not so in this case, depending on what you believe with the case in Ferguson. But not so in this case with the NYPD and Officer Daniel Pantaleo. You see, Eric Garner, he was on video. We saw him being choked by police. And if you don't know this already, I'm going to go back and I need to reiterate this for you. Choke holds by police officers are illegal in New York. Listen to this. This is from November 24th of 1993, the New York Times. And I got this information from my good friend, Kathy Reisenwitz. Kathy, thank you for pointing us to this information. The NYPD issued an order banning the use of chokeholds, restraining maneuvers that cut off the flow of blood and oxygen to the brain, and have been blamed in the deaths of suspects around the nation. Now, lots of police departments around the country have prohibited or reviewed the use of various chokeholds, and it's asking people, it's basically asking, you know, what do you think is the appropriate use of police force? And listen to this. This policy in New York grew about from out of concern of the rising number of deaths in police custody over the last 8 years. This was the case of Federico Pereira. He's a 21-year-old Queens man who died in 1991 of what medical examiners called traumatic asphyxia. Five officers were charged. The charges were dropped against four, and the fifth was acquitted. So, you know, I think that you have to know that, first of all. You have to know, first of all, that it was illegal what the officer was doing. One, we have a problem with the fact that he was doing something that was totally nonviolent and shouldn't be illegal in the first place. And two, we have the officer who actually committed an illegal act. So I want to talk about the fact that the law is perverted, and that's really what the issue is here. Because, you know, I said this the other day, if the law is perverted, the police officers are going to carry out, or they're going to be the enforcers of perversion. And that's really what's at stake here. The problem is the law. Police officers think that they're not doing anything wrong. They think, oh, he's a bad guy. He's breaking the law. Let's take him to jail. Well, did you know in California, for example, in Los Angeles, it's illegal to sell bacon-wrapped hot dogs from street vendors unless you have this proper licensing. And all of these street vendors are going out of business because they're not selling bacon wrapped hot dogs like some people, like the people who are doing it illegally are, right? So, you know, poor Eric Garner's trying to make a buck, and he's getting choked to death by the state. So the problem is the law. The problem is that the Eric Garner was doing something nonviolent that just happened to be against the law, and he paid the ultimate price. Well, why does the cop get to keep his life? If he was doing something against the law, well, why didn't somebody step in and choke him to death because what he was doing was illegal? I don't understand why we seem to have this separate moral code for police than we do for the people in the rest of the country. That's not how you have a free society, ladies and gentlemen. A free society means that no one is above the law, including the president. Remember, what was the famous Richard Nixon quote? He said, when the president does it, it's not illegal, right? Well, that's basically what conservatives are acting like with this case, where they're saying, oh, well, if a police officer does it, well, it's not illegal. Yeah, it's not illegal because they basically get off in every single case. If they're not indicted, then they're definitely going to get acquitted. And people are sick of this. And this is why I think that the black community is so outraged. Never mind the fact that I think that the black community is confused about the Ferguson case, and they've misdirected their time and resources, and libertarians too in many ways. I don't think that the case of Mike Brown in Missouri is actually a very good case when it comes to defending civil liberties and fighting against police abuse. Yes, it's a case, but it's not as clear a case as the case of Eric Garner. Now, let's talk about what's going to happen in this case, and I'm reading this from the from New York Magazine. This is by Margaret Hartman. She's talking about what happens next in the case of Eric Garner. People across the country were angered and hurt by the grand jury decision on the death of Eric Garner, from government officials to the thousands of protesters who shut down parts of New York on Wednesday night. The criminal case against Daniel Pantaleo, the white NYPD officer whose chokehold led to the unarmed black man's death, is over, but that doesn't mean he's in the clear. Pantaleo is facing a civil suit from the Garner family and an internal NYPD investigation, plus a just-announced federal civil rights investigation. So, here's what Margaret says we have to expect in the coming months. Let's start with the federal civil rights probe. Eric Holder announced on Wednesday the DOJ will launch a, quote, independent, thorough, fair, and expeditious criminal civil rights investigation into the death of Eric Garner. His death was, of course, a tragedy. All lives must be valued. All lives, Eric Holder said at a press conference. This is not a New York issue, he added. We must seek to heal the breakdown in trust we have seen. Well, thank you, Eric Holder, for finally stepping in and, you know, presiding over some injustice. We know that you're very familiar with injustice because you've presided over it your entire term in your administration of the DOJ. So you should know it when you see it, right, Eric? The Justice Department has also launched civil rights investigations into the shootings of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown, but law enforcement officials told the Post they don't have enough evidence to bring charges against George Zimmerman or Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson. Now, the federal probe of the Garner case is going to be overseen by U.S. Attorney Loretta Lynch, and she has jurisdiction over Staten Island. She's also President Obama's nominee to succeed Holder as Attorney General, and the case will probably define her confirmation process. She has considerable experience with police brutality cases. She prosecuted the 1997 sexual assault of Abner Lima by NYPD, and this is a statement that she released last night. Since the death of Eric Garner in July, our office has monitored this case closely. At the outset, informed by prior experience and in keeping with the standard practice in these types of cases in New York, the local investigation proceeded first. As the Attorney General explained earlier tonight, because the local investigation has come to a close, the DOJ will now move forward with its own independent inquiry to determine whether federal civil rights laws have been violated. The investigation will be conducted by the Attorney's Office and the DOJ Civil Rights Division. The investigation will be fair and thorough, and it will be conducted as expeditiously as possible. Why do I not trust these people? You know, the federal civil rights probe, it sounds like a good thing to me, but the local court should have indicted him. The local grand jury should have indicted him. This guy broke the law. You can't just, or at least indicted him for manslaughter, because he broke the law. It's on camera. I don't understand why we have such difficulty in prosecuting rogue cops. Now, listen to this. The possible outcome on the case from New York Mag. Experts were split on whether DOJ will be able to make a case. American University law professor William Lomans told the LA Times the Garner incident may be easier to prosecute because the case involves the use of physical force. It's easier in that it's not a shooting and that shootings are less often indicted, said Lomans. Now, he explained that prosecutors will need to prove that the NYPD acted with intent to use more force than reasonably necessary under the circumstances. Now, using a chokehold when the move is banned would seem to fit that description, but according to the New York Times, in the grand jury testimony, Pantaleo says that that isn't what he's doing. Listen to this. This is from the New York Times. Pantaleo testified when he put his hands on Garner, he was employing a maneuver taught to him at the police academy, hooking an arm underneath one of Mr. Garner's arms while wrapping the other around Mr. Garner's torso. The move is meant to tip the person so they lose their balance and go to the ground, as seen in wrestling. Criminal defense lawyers Patrick Parada and Joseph Sorrentino disagreed, telling the Staten Island Advance that federal prosecutors would have a hard time bringing charges against Pantaleo. They would have to be of the opinion this entire incident from start to finish was motivated by race and nothing else. There's no tangential evidence that they singled out Eric Garner because of his race, Sorrentino added. So, federal civil rights probe, probably not going to go anywhere because they'll have to prove that he was being singled out and choked to death because of his race. And that's really difficult, and there doesn't appear to be any evidence of that. It just so happens that it was a white officer choking to death a black man. Now, what about the Garner family civil suit? Let's talk about that. The Garner family filed a notice of a claim in October. They want $75 million in damages from the city and the NYPD. Now, obviously, I think that they deserve some sort of a compensation here. But again, $75 million. Now, they're not going to get $75 million let's just call it what it is, the taxpayer. It's called the city, but it's the people of New York City who are going to have to pay this cost of their rogue police officers. The claim accuses the officers and their employers of, quote, wrongful death, assault, battery, intentional infliction of emotional distress, negligent supervision, and negligent training, among other injuries. It also says that Garner's civil rights were violated by the officer's reckless and careless actions. The officers involved failed to properly report the use of a banned chokehold maneuver to superiors so as to attempt to create a cover-up. In addition, police officers present when the banned chokehold was used failed to stop the use of this banned maneuver so as to become tactic collaborators, the notice says. Respondents, City of New York, and the NYPD were aware of prior lawsuits against police officers, yet continued to retain them as employees. This is a possible outcome. The grand jury's decision not to indict Pantaleo should not affect the family's case. As the Staten Island Advance notes, there is a different standard of proof in such cases. Civil cases require jurors to find a preponderance of evidence as opposed to the requisite proof beyond a reasonable doubt in a criminal trial. Now, there's the internal affairs investigation. So the NYPD is going to investigate themselves. Yeah, right. The 8-year veteran is Daniel Pantaleo has been on modified duty since July, he doesn't have access to his gun or his badge. If he's charged internally, the department will hold a trial. But ultimately, this is up to NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton. And basically, he's likely to recommend that he's going to get disciplined. The chokehold, however not criminal, does violate the patrol guide procedure in Section 203's use of force, but the department advocate will merely make a suggestion of discipline to Bratton. Now, the last part on this great story on New York Magazine by Margaret here, she says that there's a national march in Washington, protests continuing across the country, New York, Ferguson, other cities. I know that they're going down in Portland. Al Sharpton announced there's going to be one in D.C. on the 13th here. Now, this is what Al Sharpton says. He says it's time for a national march to deal with a national crisis. Why a national march? Because we cannot be put around like social hamsters. 1 minute Ferguson, next minute New York, next minute Cleveland. No, we're going to bring Ferguson, Cleveland, and all of New York to the nation's capital to say enough is enough. Now, obviously, Al Sharpton is the race hustler, the race pimp, the guy who is going to exploit these kinds of tragedies for all that they're worth. But civil libertarians have to stand on these issues no matter who stands alongside us. And to me, the case of Eric Garner is a case of egregious mishandling of the of a person's life. Watch the video. Watch him choking. You know, somebody said yesterday on the Facebook comment section, which I try not to read the comments sometimes because they're just so horrible. Well, they said, oh, well, you know, he was fine after the officer choked him. He was conscious and saying things before he died. Well, yeah, it's just like if you shoot someone with a gun and then they're conscious and they're talking before they die, you still committed a crime. It's still a crime, you know? And I think that the officer should be indicted at the very least for manslaughter. Judge Andrew Napolitano makes an excellent case here. If you go to the Libertarian Republic, you can see the article. It says, Judge Knapp, cop who choked man to death should have been indicted. I totally agree with the judge here. I think that Eric Garner's life, his tragic loss of life here, is making... I think it's making race relations worse in this country, and we've got to... The problem is that nobody is really addressing the real problems except for libertarians, and I hate to be that guy, but the social democrats are not going to solve our problems here. The federal civil rights probe is not going to go anywhere. The NYPD internal investigation is not going to go anywhere, and the civil suit is probably the best they have, that they're going to be forced to pay, you know, maybe at max $75 million and all that does is further burden the taxpayer, and we still haven't solved the problem of violent crime in our streets. Now, I have been talking about Ferguson for the last couple of weeks. I've been writing a lot of stories. I've been very critical of the community that's for Darren, for indicting Officer Wilson in Ferguson, and I've also been very critical of the police officers in Ferguson. You know, because the thing is that I want to try and have a balanced approach here, ladies and gentlemen. And when it came to Ferguson, I think a balanced approach was more prudent because the evidence wasn't as available. But when it comes to the case of Eric Garner, we can see the evidence, ladies and gentlemen. We can see the video. And that's why I like to talk about police officers wearing cameras. Now, the Department of Justice, President Obama came out last week with this $200 million proposal to start putting putting cameras on police officers. You know, the reason that we know Eric Garner was his rights were violated is because somebody else had a camera and they were videotaping the whole thing. If we had good videotape of Officer Darren Wilson shooting Mike Brown in Ferguson, the details of this case would be a little bit more clear, but we can't do that. And I try and be as fair and balanced as possible. You know, I got that from my time at Fox. And I know you guys don't believe that, but they actually are pretty fair and balanced in many ways. But I don't want to talk about the media right now. I want to talk about civil rights. And I think that if we're going to improve race relations in this country, we're going to have to do things like putting body cameras on police officers. Now, some libertarians say, no, we can't afford to do that. That's more tax money. That's bigger government. Oh, that's Big Brother. Well, no, it's not. Yes, it is, and no, it's not. For the most part, it's 99% not a violation of our civil rights, and maybe 1% it is, because, you know, anything can necessarily be abused if it's in the hands of government. So, I still think that police officers need to wear cameras. I still think that we should have, you know, the tax money being used that we're already spending being used to do it. You know, if they can get mine-resistant armored vehicles from the Department of Defense, then the local police departments can auction those off, they can sell them for scrap, and then they can use that money to buy body cameras. Listen, cameras aren't that expensive, ladies and gentlemen, and I think that when it comes to our civil liberties, that those kinds of costs are not overly burdensome, and that they should be imposed, that police officers should be required to wear them when they're on duty at all times. I think that those cameras should be wirelessly uploading their content to the internet. I mean, that's the thing. Why would you not want police officers to wear body cameras? Well, I mean, when you see police officers, let's say you're a pro cop, don't you want police officers to be protected? You know, in Rialto, California, where they had where they put body cameras on police officers, they saw a drop in complaints, an 88% drop in complaints, right? So citizens stopped complaining 88% about police officers' abuse, and then 60% drop in the actual use of force. So why would you not want police officers to use cameras? Don't you think people act better, they behave better when they know they're on camera? Of course they do. That's why the only person who's been indicted in the case of Eric Garner is the guy who recorded the video. Can you believe that? Listen to this. You're never going to believe this. You're never, ever, ever in a million years going to believe this story. But the guy who videotaped the exchange, the Eric Garner thing, he's actually been indicted. And that, to me, is really what's the most BS part of all of this, because he's the guy who actually did the biggest public service. So, in the case of Eric Garner, the guy who recorded it, he's going to get in trouble. So listen to this. This is from the Huffington Post. A grand jury didn't indict Eric Garner, but they did indict Ramsey Orta, the man who filmed the incident. Listen to this. In August, less than a month after filming the encounter, a grand jury indicted Orta on weapons charges stemming from an arrest by undercover officers earlier that month. Police alleged that Orta had slipped a .25-caliber handgun into a teenage accomplice's waistband outside a New York hotel. Orta testified the charges were falsely mounted by police in retaliation for his role in documenting Garner's death. But the grand jury rejected his contention, charging him with single felony counts of third-degree criminal weapons possession and criminal firearms possession. So he is saying that he was set up by police as a sort of a retribution for his role in airing the NYPD's mismanagement and misbehavior when it came to Eric Garner. So, you know, there's injustice everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, and we're not going to have justice in this country until we take the simple steps necessary to protect civil rights. And to me, I think the number one issue that all libertarians, social democrats, anyone who's against big government should support is cameras on police officers. And that's all I've got to say about that. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast today. Again, if you enjoyed it, do me a favor, send me an email. Do you really enjoy the show? I love hearing from you guys. Every once in a while, you guys will send me an email. Somebody will say, Austin, I want to set my clock by your podcast. This actually, I have to say, thank you to Jennifer Allegra, who emailed me yesterday or wrote on Facebook. She's like, please tell me you're doing a podcast on this today. And she's like, please, please, or I have to listen to Glenn Beck or Alex Jones on this. And so I was like, all right, all right, all right. So don't listen to Alex Jones or Glenn Beck on this one, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to Lady Leif Beaverson on this issue. You know he's going to give you the straight libertarian beef, no bullshit. But Zen, thank you very much for inspiring me to do this podcast, and please do me a favor, subscribe to the show if you haven't already. I know you're one of my big fans, and you're a beautiful and wonderful woman, and thank you for being on the cause of liberty. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a great day. Don't forget, come back every single day. You're home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.com.